Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 31st day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is solutions. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru and Beth. We are in the question and answer mode, which means typically, anyway, one person at a time to call in and make comments or ask questions. If needed, however, we can keep more than one person active on the call. Our website is www.PastorDan, which is altogether PastorDan.net, and we're updating stuff there almost on a daily basis, especially on the Daily Mail page. Much too much to put out by email, so please get in the habit of swinging by PastorDan.net once in a while during the day and just check for any news items or any other changes made to some of the more pertinent pages where we put links to reference material, study material, other identity websites that have a lot of good material on them. This message is definitely growing, and we need to support each other and get that information out there. That also prevents the enemy from just taking down one or two and stopping the flow of truth, whereas if there's a multitude of us out there, then makes it much more difficult for the enemy to control that. So hallelujah, His word is getting out there. Let me read a couple of verses out of Proverbs here. Now, it's interesting that there's two almost identical verses in Proverbs on this one topic. That's generally done to emphasize the meaning or the topic of what these verses are talking about. In this case, it's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and also in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Now, if you get into the original Aramaic of those verses, you may find out death is referring to either utter destruction, physical death as we know it today, or just in the sense of a figurative sense, meaning spiritual death, okay? There is a way which seems right or righteous or correct to a man, but in the end it leads to his spiritual or physical death or demise. So you think about that again, double warning. And what is it we have going on in this world today if it's not white men and women who are going where they seem to think that it's the right way, and yet it's leading to their death? It's leading to the death of our race. It's leading to us not having a relationship or belief in the living Father. It's leading to us as a death in the sense we don't communicate with each other anymore. We don't have the large patriarchal families that we had for thousands of years like we used to. We pretty much bought into the image of the beast completely. Now, modern technology has been a blessing of one sort. However, it's a mixed blessing in that there is Satan uses this technology against us. For thousands of years, it used to be seeing is believing. That was an old saying, seeing is believing. Well, that's before the image of the beast came along that can be manipulated. Okay, you're watching things on this flat screen, whatever kind of flat screen you got. Those images are created by technology, and they have the technology today to put up anything that they want. It may not even exist, but they have CGI, which is computer-generated imagery. They have CGI technology now that can take digital images and they appear almost real. They're getting dangerously close to where you, as a person watching these flat screens, these images of the beast, you're having difficulty discerning what is real and what isn't. And now with green screen, they've already caught mainstream media reporters literally sitting in the same studio, but with green screens, trying to make it like they are miles apart at some kind of catastrophe. And so in the background, it looks like either a hurricane or a storm or a fire. They're literally sitting in a studio almost next to each other. And yet on the screen, you're thinking that they're blocks or miles apart from each other at some crime scene or natural disaster. And none of that's true. So discernment is critical at this point in time. And how do we have discernment? You know, the scripture tells us that the delusions and the deception would be so great at the end of the age that even his elect would be deceived if it were possible. Okay, even his elect, okay, you, the listening audience, you're part of the elect whether you know it or not. Okay, we've had enough time pass now that you're in a very small group of people who are in touch with their spiritual side and with the secular side. Okay, that's not a lot of people. You have vision enough to see the deceptions in front of you. You have discernment enough to tell when somebody's speaking truth to you. Okay, most people don't have that. So you're part of the elect. Now, what makes it so that the elect can't be deceived? It's the Holy Spirit. It's discernment that comes when you're tuned in to your Holy Spirit through your third eye antenna. When you take the time to listen, let's put it that way. A lot of people have the physical ability, they have a lot of spirituality about them, but they don't ever go to the quiet place and spend time listening and talking to the Father so that he can instruct you. You know, that's the amazing thing. We have a loving Father that's watching over all this stuff going on. And there's a purpose for all this stuff that's going on. A lot of people don't understand that. There's a purpose to this. Father does not abandon us, ever. We abandon him at times, and we pay for that, whether it's physical death or not. That depends on the circumstances. But we pay one way or the other when we abandon him and we walk away from that mighty connection that we have with our Father. I remember for years I read the psalm that talks about crying out and singing for joy and praying to the Father and crying out from our beds. And I thought that seems kind of funny because obviously we think in modern terms, and most of us have alarm clocks, jump up out of bed, run to get a quick bite to eat, throw our clothes on and go off to work every day. On your day off, you're doing it to jump up and take as much time of the day on your day off to get as much done as you can. Or you've got a honey-do list that mama gave you. Or your children want to go do something. So you don't have any quiet time, not on your bed. Okay, so that verse didn't make sense to me until I realized that in my man cave now, because I live the way Jacob lived, and I've learned that there is much wisdom in going back to the old ways, that now, because I have done that and I have shielded myself away from the distractions of life, that when I awake in the morning, I've been given the honor and privilege that I don't have to jump out of bed and run anywhere. And so now I'm actually living as an Adamic man was meant to live, and I believe all men were meant to live. I can take my time. I can awaken at whatever pace I want. I can go into prayer and meditation. I can think about the wondrous things that I'm thankful for and take on the attitude of gratefulness, which many people have forgotten. No matter what your situation is, folks, I'm willing to bet that there's an awful lot, if you really think about it, that you could say thank you to the Father for every morning. I mean, really, come on. No matter how bad it is, you can't look around you and see others that are in much worse shape. I know I can. So my attitude every morning and at night when I lay my head on the pillow is, thank you. Thank you for the day that I'm about to have, and thank you for the day that I just had. Especially if I got through it without a major catastrophe. I still have my health. I'm still here. I'm still able to do his work. I still have friends. I still can help people. I can still learn. I can take calls or messages and apply it, the wisdom from the scriptures to modern day events, which has always been something that I've enjoyed doing. How do we take those words of wisdom when they're properly translated and apply them to our world around us? And that's a little bit where we're getting into the day's agenda of solutions, okay? We talk about the problems all the time, and we need to start changing our focus to that of overcomers and the fact that you and I are his children on this earth. We have been given the authority, especially when we come together in one accord and we do things in his name. Now, we use that term lightly today, but in olden times, remember, even in some of your movies, when the knights or the Middle Ages, the chivalrous knight or the magistrate would say, I come in the name of the king. You know, what did that mean? I come, because in the ancient Hebrew, shame is the Hebrew word for name, so very close, isn't it? Shame, name. And shame carries the connotation of not only is it a proper name, but it also states your authority. Yahweh's name is I Am That I Am, meaning the eternal one. There's my authority. I've always been here. I've been here from the beginning. Everything you see around you, I created. In spite of what Barack Obama and a lot of these people of color have been trying to tell us of late to shame white people. No, you didn't create a damn thing. Yahweh and his creative ability, which he breathed into the nostrils of the Adam kind, that's where creativity comes from. Okay? One way to prove that is if they had the creative ability, then why are they flooding into our countries to take advantage of what we built? If they could just go home and build it themselves, why would you bother? The answer is obviously they can't do it. They've never been able to do it. They never will be able to do it. They're jealous of us as hell because we have that ability, just like Esau is jealous of Jacob, always has been, and they still remain so because they sold off, their great ancestor sold off his inheritance for a bowl of soup, basically. That's how little he regarded it. He had already turned into a race mixer and walked away from not only his parents, but his heavenly father. And Esau, that attitude has flooded over into the Esau Edomites who walk amongst us. So it's a spiritual and a racial element to the Edom-Esau enemies that we face. So we could start our day again, as the psalm talks about, being on our beds and taking that quiet time and get refocused, get reset, so to speak. Okay, because this world's full of drama, especially with your electronic toilets, all kinds of electronic toilets that you carry around with you, spewing out all this nonsense. And a lot of it is fear porn and things like that. We need to stay focused on what we can actually see. And we also have to remember something. You know, we were warned about the lying pen of the scribes. And we allow individual interpretations of these words after thousands of years to cause division amongst our people. And I've often asked people, what if, now just hypothetically speaking here, what if every shred of scripture was man-made? It wasn't inspired by Yahweh at all. I'm not saying that that's true, but I'm asking you, what if? What if everything in print that you have was created on a printing press by men who had an ulterior motive? What if that were true? If if that were the case, do you think the Father would leave us abandoned to that? Again, you have real-time communication with your Heavenly Father. Real-time, okay? You computer folks know what I'm talking about. Real-time communication with your Creator, Father, who loves you, who put you upon this earth, who formed you, who breathed into your nostrils His Spirit, and one day you will go to be reunited with Him. Now, do you think for 1 minute He would have a situation where we would have to depend 100% on words written thousands of years ago, reinterpreted by all kinds of people with all kinds of motives? Just put that in your noggin and let it mull over a little bit up there in your brain, all right? Think about that. So when you're reading the scriptures, if they're true, the truths that they tell would fit with what you see with your eyes in the world around you. Not on flat screens. I'm talking about your own eyes. Okay? We've talked about the fact race mixing. Every white person I've ever known knows, especially those that were born early enough before all the propaganda by our Zionist interlopers, they knew at the gut level. Many of the people I talked to didn't go to church. They didn't read their Bibles, but they knew race mixing was wrong. You see what I'm saying? So even the scriptures talk about the fact that He would put the law into our hearts. Why would that be? Because He knows unscrupulous men will manipulate the meanings of words, just like Bill Clinton tried to redefine the word is in order to get away with committing fornication in the White House. Do you see how wicked people do things like that? That's why the founding fathers and our ancestors used to have a saying that it is the intent of a law that carries the meaning. The intent of a law is what counts, not the wording of it, because words change, especially over time. But even within the span of a decade, the meaning of a word can vary slightly. But the intent of a law does not change, no matter what kind of wording you've got. No matter how many Bill Clintons and Hillary Clintons and Pelosi's and Schumer's and the rest of the ilk like that you have around you, the cacistocracy that we've talked about. The cacistocracy is famous for trying to manipulate the English language to somehow justify their criminality. But if you go back to the intent of our laws, they don't get away with it. You see how you just keep it simple? Keep it simple. So we were going to talk a little bit about solutions. And let me tell you, we're on the cusp of something really big getting ready to happen here. I want everybody to be on high alert. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying something big is about to happen. Now, for us, I look forward to it because both the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures tell me that at some point, Father's going to bring this to a close. He's done. He's done with the evil of men. He will pass judgment on the wicked. They will be destroyed, and we will have a new heaven and a new earth. That's been promised. So, again, these same events that come forth, they'll be good events for the righteous. They will be death to the wicked. Literally, their death. So, hallelujah for that. So, with all this stuff that's going on, I just wanted to jot down a few things to chat with you tonight about as far as solution. Because everybody says, you know, well, okay, how come we don't ever talk about solutions? Well, we're working on that. We're working very, very hard to establish an ARC community, which will be a farm and a ranch in the very near future. We've got some folks with some financial clout that are interested. And that's one thing we're going to try to do. Build an ARC in the sense of a piece of property where like-minded people can leave Babylon, because we will not allow cell towers on this property. We will not allow Wi-Fi on this property. Everything will be hardwired. What we do have will be hardwired. We will discourage the use of any of the modern technologies that spy on us and radiate us. We will also have shielding built into the buildings, things like that. And it'll become a learning center, and there'll be real food there. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to find food that's not been contaminated. So as we're going forward, that's one of the solutions that I came up with, is right here. Build the ark communities and live organically. Okay, now you can do that right now. You can be searching for properties, preferably turnkey farms or ranches, that either have been abandoned or somebody just wants to get out. My brother just recently found a beautiful deal like that for a home in Florida. Got it for a great price. Just was the timing of it. I think it was providential, because they came in, saw it. It was exactly what they were looking for, and the seller wanted out so bad that he lowered the price right exactly where they wanted it. Now tell me that's not providential. Same thing could happen for us, but we have to do the seeking first. You see what I'm saying? So in the meantime, you can be learning about gardening. Okay, that way when the land is available, you don't grab the books then, folks. You start doing your due diligence right now, so that when the land becomes available, you just put on your dungarees and your boots and get your work gloves and join me out in the fields, and we'll start plowing and we'll start planting. Okay, we'll already know what fruit trees we want. We'll already know what flowers need to be grown to keep the insects away. We'll already know what grows best in this climate. You see what I'm saying? Now's the time. You got time now to search these things out. And I know people that are doing it. Hallelujah for the brave souls that are doing it. They're doing their due diligence. They're doing their research right now, so that when Father opens that door, we can go right in there and pick up and just start moving forward. I've been doing my research into who I would like to be on that farm and that community, and what people will be invited to join us to teach us. We've got a young man who's an expert in aquaponics. Oh, gosh, it jumped out of my head. Anyway, it's the different ways of farming using the enriched water. That's in greenhouses, typically. He also is an expert in vertical farming. He's already done almost 7 years of research on how to get maximum food out of a small postage stamp size piece of ground. That's his expertise. And he wants to be part of this community. He's already told me that. You see what I'm saying? Father will bring the right talent to us. I've got other people, their talent is building structures, carpentry, and fabrication. I myself have done plumbing and electrical work, and I've worked on appliances and electrical systems and electronics as well. Radio, television, CB radio, ham radio, etc. So we will have those kind of people put their heads together, and we'll learn how to do things ourselves. Walk away from Babylon. You see, everything that's centralized right now was done because of our enemy. Okay? They convinced us that centralization would make things cheaper and better for you, and you bought it, when really what their intention was to centralize it to help them have better control over you, because they are few in number. These Khazar, Antichrist Khazarians, okay, they are few in number, and they are not strong. They're not warriors, okay? It used to be mankind could defend themselves, and if you thought you were better or you wanted to force me to do something, you had to physically be able to overcome me. They can't do that. So they have to convince us that we have to have strong central government, strong central religion, strong centralized health care, centralized hospitalization and medical profession, centralized education. You see how that works? Everything centralized so that they can control it easily with just a handful of them and their big pockets full of shekels, blood money, from the fiat currency system, which Yahweh's getting ready to destroy. So we can start learning about the ARC communities already and learning how to live as organically as you can. And please don't tell me the typical thing that so many of my friends and family, it's too expensive. Okay, well, yes and no. Does it cost a little more to get something that comes from a farm and a farmer that does it right? Yeah, it usually does because it costs more to make it because he's not going out and putting the glyphosate and the herbicides and germicides, etc., on the crops. Okay, I've got family that grow crops that way. I've told them I didn't like it. I would never eat anything off their land. But that's what the ag department told them, and they could increase their profits and they can grow more stuff, but it's not healthy. So to do it the right way, yeah, it does take more time, and generally it's going to cost a little bit more. But you know what the beautiful part of it is? You don't need as much of that food to be healthy. Okay, why do you think everybody's overweight? Because the food has no nutrition in it, the fake food. And so you have to consume more calories to get what little's in there, and so you're putting on weight. Well, if you take the time to get the real food that's loaded with nutrients, guess what? You eat a small meal of organic food, and the body says, okay, thank you. That was really good, and I'm satisfied. So it turns off the hunger switch, and now you can do your intermittent fasting, which is good for your health. Good for your organs, good for your body, helps you maintain a proper weight, helps you sleep better. See how it all works together? These are things you can do right now. It doesn't take an ARC community to start this. It doesn't take a second coming to start these things. You can do them right now. Another solution, and Coach Dave Dabemir talked about this recently on his program, and I'm sure others are doing it as well, but he made the statement is, I don't understand how any conscientious parent could send their children into public school. And I agree with that. And if it steps on toes, I'm sorry, but it's true. I don't know how any parent that loves their children could send them into the public school system today. I really don't know. Homeschooling, I've done it. It's not that hard. It's not that expensive. And they come out at least 10 times better than anything that's going to happen in that public school system. Not to mention homeschooling, they're probably going to be healthier because a lot of the sick children are sick because they went to the school amongst a bunch of other sick children. Whereas if you're educating them at home, that doesn't happen. And there are activities, lots of activities that have been set up state by state for homeschoolers, such as sporting events and different things where homeschoolers can get together and children can interact with each other. This whole nonsensical thing that homeschool children will grow up and not know how to interact. No, what they mean is they'll grow up and be able to think for themselves instead of be thugs, thieves, and perverts like everything coming out of the public school system. And again, that's not 100%, but it's happening in way too many cases. Okay, public school system is a failure, an absolute 100% failure for this country. So in the meantime, until we can either turn them back into this kind of schools that I went to where they teach the Bible, they teach phonetics, they teach McGuffey readers, they teach morality, they don't shut Yahweh out of the school. You see what I'm saying? Until schools can become that again, we need to treat them as if they're satanic temples, because actually that's what they are. So there's something we all could work on. If you're not in a position to do it, start studying it right now. Go get some information. There's tons of information and whole organizations developed to help you. Start looking into it. If your children don't like it, that's too bad. It's called tough love. You got to do what's best for them. And public schools are not good. I got grandchildren in them, and it tears me up. I try to get my children to understand that it's bad. And a few of them, they did homeschool for a while, as long as they could, or put them in private school. Private schools are an alternative if you can afford them. Or Christian academies. I've used Christian academies before, and they're out there, and most of them are very, very reasonable. So get out of the public school system. Stop supporting it. Stop allowing them access to your loved ones. We could all get together and start forming local schools, centers of education. One of the things we want to do on the art community, but until then, we could still do it. You can organize a seminar, or you could even online, a Zoom conference, let's say, using Zoom, a Zoom conference with a naturopath or an organic farmer or somebody who knows history or historicity. By the way, you have a dictionary word that talks about real history versus Hollywood's version. Okay, it's called historicity. Now, isn't that odd? And you never hear anybody talk about it, but you've got a word to differentiate between fake history and legitimate history, which is unadulterated. It's called historicity. How about that? But we live in a kakistocracy where they have made it literally impossible for you to get historicity. You have to dig for it, just like Yahweh said. It's my honor, my glory to hide a matter, and the honor of my sons and daughters to search it out. And yet, generally, we have to search it out as teamwork, doing teamwork together. But start teaching about homeopathics and these other things. Start preparing yourself to get onto the ark at this time. Get out of the mainstream grocery stores, especially the ones that don't stock any organics at all. Get out of them. And when you do have to go into one, go only to those sections, and I've done this for years and years. You go to the sections where they actually have some health food, or they've got produce that came from local farmers that grow it organically. And better yet, go to farmers markets where you can actually talk to the producers. That's where I learned when I was in Mississippi on a job, talking to the local farmer. I was buying his honey, and he informed me about all the honeybees he was losing because of the farmer next to him growing GMO crops. Because you can't, bees don't recognize boundaries between land, okay? Bees don't give a damn. So when they see a flower over on the GMO crop side, they're going to go over there as well. And the problem is he lost $10,000 worth of his bees, because when they get into the pollen produced by the GMO foods, it causes them to lose their sense of direction, and they ended up, many of them, dying and going other places. So that's how I learned it, though, at the farmer's market, talking to them. And we exchanged some ideas and different information, made a new friend, got some contact information, met other people there that were typically at the farmer's market. You're going to have people that are open-minded to things, because obviously in this day and age, they didn't buy into the corporate farming methods because they know they're wrong. They know they're poisonous. So stop supporting them and get out and support the people that are doing it right. Something else we can all do, and we can do it right now. Clean up your diet. Okay? Clean up your diet. You are what you eat. A lot of people out there know the truth of this message, but they're still eating the unclean foods. I know you're out there. I've been amongst you. I know it. Clean up your diet. And you know, some of my friends went to some of the meetings that were in Arkansas recently, and these were hosted by some of our supposedly national leaders, and they were appalled that even though there was no pork and there was no shellfish, there were a lot of GMO foods, There was a lot of high fructose corn syrup. There's a lot of hybridized grain foods. You see what I'm saying? Non-organic, highly processed. And as a consequence, there were many of the elders there that were in absolutely terrible shape. Terrible shape. What kind of example is that? So clean up the diet. Do it for yourself and do it for your children and those around you. Be an example. Get exercise, okay? We all need exercise. And you don't need a lot of it. You don't need to sign up at a gym. Go for a walk. Do a 15-minute walk every day, whatever. Okay? I try to get my exercise in the form of taking care of yards, doing mowing of grass, and walking around the park, and working on cars. It's probably not enough. I probably do need to do some walking in addition to that. But I try to get physical activity in any way, shape, or form I can get it. All right? So, again, you don't need to join a gym. You don't need to buy expensive gear. Just go out and walk or work on your own house or do gardening or what, anything that gets the body out into the fresh air and the sun and moves those muscles, okay? Muscles that aren't moved, atrophy. They wither away. Just like your brain, it's a muscle. You don't use it, it atrophies. Your heart, if you don't use it, it will atrophy. Your muscles in your arms and legs, you don't use them, they atrophy. You don't want that to happen. If you don't exercise your communication with the Father, that will also atrophy. Your pineal gland and your communication methods with the Father. The more you do it, the better it gets. It's like anything in this world, right? The more you do it, the easier it is and the better it gets. Where is that not true? Somebody needs to tell me. If I'm wrong, tell me where that's not true. The more you do it, the better it is. That's just Occam's razor at work. It's common sense. Another thing we can do and do immediately is stop supporting our enemies. Do a little research, okay? We have tools now to do a lot of this research. There's whole websites dedicated to who the liars and deceivers are there as far as corporations are. Stop supporting them, okay? Find somebody that's doing it right and support them by buying their product or their service or whatever. Instead of just going out for whatever's cheapest or whatever's the most convenient, put a little due diligence in there and stop supporting our enemies. Every one of us should be armed right now. Every person. Every person that's a believer in Christ and Yahweh should be armed. Now, there's a responsibility that comes with being armed, and that is that you get the proper training in the proper use and storage of that weapon. But the fact that every one of us should be armed, there is no doubt about that. Okay? One of my listeners just told me another form of exercise is indoor sports. You can take that in a lot of ways, but yeah. Activity is activity. The body doesn't really care. Muscles don't care. They just want to be exercised. We were created to work, okay? Everything in our bodies was created to perform work. And that doesn't mean something you hate doing. I'm talking about expending energy. It could be fun things like going for a swim, a long walk, making love to your wife, whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything that causes your cardio to go up and expend energy, that's what you were designed for. This modern world is doing everything it can to have you sit on your butt and not do anything because that's a great way to destroy you. Your muscles weaken, your skeletal system becomes weaker, all kinds of things go wrong. But anyway, back to the firearms. You should have a weapon, and again, we've got a page on website, PastorDan.net, called Locked and Loaded. Where we put information up there. If you have anything you could add to that page, send it to me. I'll be glad to add it there. But this is just common sense information for our people on what are some of the better weapons to have for home defense, because that's the primary use of the weapons that we recommend, home defense. And consequently, a weapon that's good for home defense can also be used as your duty in the posse or the militia, typically. If it's good for home defense, it's probably also good for a military type application. And many military weapons also make great home defense. Okay, shotguns. I saw military police when I was in the Air Force. They would use shotguns. So a lot of people say, well, the military doesn't use shotguns. Oh yeah, they do. Just depends on what your circumstances were. I know riverboat guys in Vietnam were issued shotguns, typically 10-gauge goose guns. And quite frankly, the Viet Cong were terrified of those weapons. They were devastating. Short range, but boy, oh boy, with the scatter out of a short-barreled 10-gauge shotgun, let me tell you, it was almost like a small Claymore mine in your hand. And they're inexpensive. They're easy to use, easy to clean. Now, 10-gauge is a little bit much for most women and children or young people. So you might want to go a little bit smaller for them, but a good stout man, he can handle a 10-gauge shotgun. For the ladies, I'd recommend a 410 or a 20-gauge. Same thing for the young people out there. You can handle those, especially the 410, and it packs a pretty good wallop. I remember one day I had a 410-22 over-under, and just for the hell of it, I was going out into the garden because the rabbits were chewing up my crops, and I saw a rabbit at the far end of the garden, and so I leveled the 410 at him, and all of a sudden a second rabbit popped up, and it was a good distance away, and a single shot out of the 410 took down both of my critters. Now I probably couldn't duplicate that shot today, but I'm just saying back then. So a 410 carries more power than you not. And for you rabbit lovers out there, okay, I don't do that often, and I did it back then, so please don't. I don't need any emails from anybody about being called a rabbit killer, okay? They were eating up the crops that I feed my family with, or I wouldn't have bothered. After that, I went out and got coyote scent and put that around the garden, and it kept them out. So I didn't need to keep critters out of the garden after that. The scent of a coyote kept them away. So again, we can live and learn, right? So I learned that there was a non-violent way to keep the critters out of the garden, because I didn't particularly care liking doing that. But the reason I brought it up is to tell you that a 410 can pack a pretty good wallop, especially at short distances, like within your home. The other thing we can do is, as we learn all these things, is share it with others, okay? There's other people out there that are waking up left and right. I'm hearing about that all the time. So we got a lot of people waking up, and they're hungry for truth, not just the truth about Messiah, not just the truth about Scripture, but the truth about these other things as well, because Christ said, I am the truth, okay? You come to the truth, now you're on the right way. I am the truth, the way, and the life. So come to the truth, now you're on the way to life. Spiritual life, physical life, health, well-being, happiness, truth, but it starts with truth. You don't get to the way, which takes you to life, until you come to the truth. Most people, they can't handle the truth. I'm going to tell you. They think they can, but no, they can't. They have been totally brainwashed by the church, the false church, by the propaganda of the media, by television shows, movies, etc. Government propagandists, church propagandists, medical propagandists. And I'm going to tell you something. These people have been doing this for a long time. They are very good at what they do, very good, on how to convince you to believe a lie, okay? And unfortunately, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to pound through that propaganda. That's why you plant seeds and allow Father to work with these people to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. If he does not intervene, you don't have much chance. These people, a lot of them are the walking dead. A lot of these people you see on a daily basis, they're literally the walking dead. They're never going to wake up. There's still people out there that think race mixing is a great thing. How in the hell anybody can believe that. I just don't even understand it. Race mixing doesn't happen in nature. You talk to anybody that raises thoroughbred horses, let's say, that are worth millions of dollars, or thoroughbred dogs for dog racing or the dog shows, go tell them that bloodline doesn't matter. Or go tell them that it's okay to take that $6 million racing horse and put him out into a pasture field and let some barnyard stag go out there and mate with it. They'll threaten to shoot you if you try to do that. All right? But you'll take that same person that cares about the breeding of their horses and dogs will let their daughter date anything on two legs. You see the insanity of the world we live in? How can you not know that interbreeding is wrong? Everything in Scripture says it's wrong. Everything in the world of science says it's wrong. Everything in medicine, if it's talked about openly and honestly, tells you it's wrong. And our military used to hand out information to the soldiers, telling them what problems they were going to run into if they chose somebody outside of their race to get married. So up until about the 1940s and 50s, when electronic toilets became readily available to the people, common sense prevailed and everybody knew that. But now we are under this hypnotic spell by the electronics around us. So it really takes a lot of effort to hang on to the truth. And you have to understand, folks, that, you know, Yahweh says in the New Testament, he talks about the fact that there are those among us who are condemned already. Okay? And I was glad to see Coach Dave Davimer and his crew of men were talking about this just the other day. And he said to the audience, does God love everybody? Does our Heavenly Father love everybody? The answer is no, he doesn't. Is his love available to people if they obey him? Yeah. Even to the non-Israelite, mercies can be shown to them. Because it says what? I will bless those that bless Abraham, but I will curse those that curse him. So we are the children of Abraham. He's our great father. Sarah, our great mother. So when it says honor your father and mother, that's Abraham and Sarah. They are the ones worthy of honor. Most parents today really aren't worthy of being honored at all because they're not doing the job of parenting. They really aren't. They're producing children, but that's not parenting. Parenting is digging into the truth and then teaching it to your children. And when your children don't like what you're teaching them, then you have to have tough love. And just like I did with my children. I was very blunt that race mixing was out, and I was very blunt about what I would do as a patriarch of the family in their case if they chose to violate that rule. Okay? Nonviolent, because in this day and age, I don't have backing by even a body of believers to be able to do what a father should be able to do. So I did what I could, which was just simply tell them that they were disowned from that moment on. They no longer were my children. They may have my DNA, but they don't have me. They don't have my ancestry. They don't have the racial memory of my kin going back thousands of years. And because they have chosen to disobey and to dishonor that, they no longer exist. And the good news was they understood that I meant what I said because I had every intention of doing just that. If they disobeyed that rule because I believe in it that much, if they disobeyed that rule, then they were not my children anymore. Some people think that sounds harsh. I don't. I think we got enough half-breed children in this world. And I've read the books with the scientific studies already. Charles Weissman is one example. Anthology of Racial Issues, and there's many, many others. But it talks in there about the scientific studies that have already been done, proving the higher incidence of mental illness and emotional instability and even violence in people of mixed breeds. That's why the Bible refers to it as a plague. I mean, come on, folks. It's common sense. One of our listeners has sent in here that William Casey, formerly of the CIA, was saying something in either a letter or a speech where he said, everything the public believes is a lie. A misinformation campaign was successful. When everything the public believes to be true is a lie, we will know our misinformation campaign has been successful. Something, that's paraphrasing it, but yeah, that's our high-priced cacistocracy government officials for you. Okay, taking the hard-earned money that we have from us without our permission anymore and using it for DARPA and psychiatric research and everything to figure out how to control us, lie to us, manipulate us. Like I said, large, centralized anything is a bane to believers and a bane to civilized men and women, no matter where they live, no matter who they are. Another thing we can do right away as part of the solution is get out of these mainstream churches. I would like to think that anybody listening to this program has already done that, but maybe not. And tell your friends and relatives. I've told my family, they don't always listen to me, but I've at least told them. They invite me to their churches. No, I don't want to go. Just like when neighbors invite me over to their house to watch a TV. No, I'm not going to go into your house and watch TV. There's no movie, there's no news item, there's no sporting event, there's nothing coming across that toilet that I want to see. Because it's gotten to the point where just hearing it, let alone seeing it, just hearing it grates on my nerves. Seeing it's even worse. It's nothing but propaganda and BS. Taking precious time that you could be studying, reading books, getting knowledge that can help you and your family and return you to health and wellness and less stress. And you're going to waste that time in front of that toilet watching that nonsense that they spew out. So get out of the churches and stop supporting them and these lying preachers. Okay, they all need to go bankrupt, every single one of them. Another thing you can do, and you don't need any group to do this, and you don't need any large amount of money or anything else, is study the Word for yourself. I determined many years ago when I started down the identity path that I was going to get as many different teachers' cassette tapes and their VHS tapes and their pamphlets and their books that they wrote. I was going to buy as many of those as I could get my hands on and dig through them. Not taking any one teacher's information as if it was gospel. Taking them all. As they say, when you're eating chicken or anything like that, you know, you eat the meat and spit out the bone and the gristle. Same thing with the meat of the Word and these teachers and whatnot. You eat it up, but you're going to get some gristle and bone every now and then, and you spit that out. And virtually that was true of every single person's material I had. Not one of them did I agree with 100%. It didn't resonate, so to speak. The vibration with the Holy Spirit just wasn't there at 100%. Now, some were pretty damn close to 100%, and some were terrible. I threw everything that they created out. Didn't want to listen to a single thing. So it's been a learning process, but we could all do that. Study for yourself, get whatever version you want, but also get some versions in the original Greek and Aramaic and get you some decent lexicons. And right now I've told you a couple times about free ones online. Blue Letter Bible's one and eSword is another. You can literally do your word studies right there on the computer. Actually put this technology to good use instead of the mindless, endless propaganda that it's being used for. Another thing we can do is all join together in prayer on a nightly basis that Father open up a door for an ARC community for us, where we can, again, learn to live organically and to teach one another the old ways, and to, as we become better at it, teach it to others that would come visit, and eventually we would send ambassadors to other counties and other states to help other groups. Just like Buckminster Fuller said in that quote that I talk about all the time, you don't change reality by fighting it. You fight it by building a better model, which makes the current reality obsolete. The current reality is falling apart. People are walking away from mainstream media. They're walking away from the mainstream churches in droves because there's no substance to them. It's lies and deceptions, and people are finally starting to wake up to that. So they are reaching out, and it's time for us to be ready with our arcs, as it says in the book. At the end of the age, it would be as it was in the days of Noah. Well, take a look around. It is the end of the age, and it's just like Noah. There's tons and tons of perversion and deviancy all around us. Build our arcs of people. Build our arcs of networks. Build our arcs of information sharing and having each other's back. And maybe even in some cases, actually living on the land as our ancestors did. And on that property, denounce all of Babylon. It's almost like an invisible force field where Babylon's on the outside, but not on the inside. Just like Noah and his family were safe on the inside of the ark, and the storm raged on the outside, and it destroyed the wicked. Do you see the symbology? Yahweh's nostrils are irritated with this perverted world we live in. He is going to destroy it. It's not going to take an army of militia or any of this other craziness, okay? First of all, if we had to rely on ourselves to save ourselves, we'd be dead already. You can see that. People don't want to take the time. They don't want to spend the money. Praise Yahweh that he loves his children enough. He's personally going to intercede. That doesn't mean we put away our weapons. It doesn't mean that we sit on our butts and we don't be ready to protect ourselves. We're supposed to protect ourselves at all times. That's a commandment from the Father. You men out there especially should be listening to that. That's our jobs. Okay, that doesn't go away. No matter what's happening out there, even if everything was hunky-dory, it's still our job to protect our loved ones and our property and whatnot. Okay, so those things we should be doing anyway. But I'm just saying, Father's got a plan to bring this whole Babylonian system crashing down and burning it to the ground. Praise Yahweh for that, because I'm praying for it. Because once it's burnt to the ground, then out of those ashes will come a new heaven and a new earth, and we should be ready to build that. Another thing you can do right now that would help everything is, you know, you want a change in this world, well then be that change. You yourself, be that change. Conduct your life as if you're a living Bible. You are a living testament to Yahweh himself as you walk amongst the people of this world. You are a living example. One of our listeners has put something here to me. It says, the fastest way to get sick is going to church. Closeness, shaking hands, and hugging. People go to church and get sick. Well, yeah, it's not only are you going to get lied to, but you're right, physically sick, because it's just like schools. You got a lot of these people, they're bringing germs and contaminants in there. So you're not only getting a mental, spiritual contamination, you're getting a physical contamination. And again, I wouldn't darken the doorstep on any church that exists today. All of the denominations are basically of the whore, the great whore of Babylon, which is the Roman Catholic Church, obviously, and its satanic dealings, which I'm glad to see they're pedophilia and the sick, demented things they've been doing for a very long time are coming out. And the mainstream denominations are the daughters of the whore. And we're finding out many of the hierarchy in those denominations are pedophiles and perverts. That was one thing that Q did say that I think was going to be true. And it's when Q, whoever Q is, had put out a statement that when everything is revealed, you will be shocked to your core at the people that you trusted that are deviants, evil, wicked men and women that you thought were great Hollywood stars or philanthropists and doing all kinds of great work. We're finding out now these child protective services and agencies are just a means to figure out who can be abducted and nobody can do anything about it. These charities doing the same thing are ways to hide the trafficking of children. It's sick. Sick, 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 and demented. So be a living Bible to the world around you, your friends, your relatives, etc., your coworkers. Another thing, especially for the white people out there, is have more children. Have more children. Okay, our enemies are certainly making it to where the non-whites out there have no problem with pumping out children. Why are whites giving up so easily? All right, so really what we should be doing is figuring out ways for us to have more children and stop supporting our enemy, the children of our non-white enemies. Okay, you can do that. Nothing's stopping our people from doing that. All right, figure out ways of doing it. Yeah, this is that saying by Richard Buckminster Fuller. It says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Amen. Amen to that. And then Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods or wilderness, the world will make a beaten path to his door. Another way of saying it, the world will beat a path to his door. Okay? In other words, if you build it, they will come. So build a better world. Let's build a better model. And the right people will beat a path to our door to be part of that. The right people. Not the wrong, but the right people. Same thing in, as far as our relationships out there. A lot of really good stuff coming out here lately. I've been really shocked at some of the, especially younger people that are picking up on the patriarchal family message. And they're now seeing it. They're now seeing the value in it. Hallelujah for that. So there are some things that we can do, and we just need to get together and do them. Okay? I saw something pop up here. I wanted to... Oh, okay. Just it's a nice note from another ministry out there. And interestingly enough, this is a guy with a website called ChristianPoly.org. I think that's it. ChristianPoly, yeah, .org. Just sent me a really nice note because I'd sent one to him saying that their website has a tremendous amount of good, pertinent information. So, again, we share information, we network with one another, we lift up one another. A lot of times, you know, we forget about discipleship. That's another thing we can be doing for each other right now is discipleship. What is discipleship? It's not just the teaching part. You know, we all get wrapped up in, well, let's decipher the correct meaning of this and that and, you know, all that stuff. Well, that's good and that's important, but it's also important to disciple. Or fellowship with one another, which means to lift up edify one another. Because this world and all of its drama and all this crap going on, it weighs our people down. Many of them are in states of depression. Even though, you know, it's fun to say that, you know, well, if you're a real believer in Yahweh, you should get up every day and know that everything's going to be all right eventually and all that. Okay, fine. You're right. The stronger your faith and the more you walk with the Father, odds are that you're not going to have to deal with it that much. But all of us, every single one of us has a bad day where things just don't seem to be going the right way, or somebody said something that really went right to your heart like a knife. Okay? We forget about that admonition in Scripture that says, your words are like arrows. Think about that, folks. Your words are like arrows. Now, what is an arrow? For you people that have taken archery in class, when you put that arrow on the bowstring, you knock it, and you pull that back, what happens when you let go of that string and that arrow takes off? Can you bring it back? No, you can't. Once you let those words out of your mouth, they're like the arrows coming off that bow. You're not going to be able to bring them back. They are going to hit a target, and sometimes they can hit and do damage. So you should treat your words just like arrows. Be careful where you aim them. Be careful that once you release it, you can't bring it back. That's why I tell people about what I developed many, many years ago is what I call the filter. It's a delay, a time delay filter, that when a conversation or a response forms in my brain, before I allow it to pass through my mouth, I put it through a filter. Depending on who I'm talking to, the filter may contain different things, but it will always ask the question of, is it true? Is it edifying? Does it hurt? Is it appropriate? How will the other person take it? Will they understand it? You see what I'm saying? Just like with my brother, he just lost his only son here recently, and I just lost my sister, so my brother-in-law. There were times I was getting ready to say something to him, and I realized that at this time is completely inappropriate. He just lost his lifelong friend, my sister, his wife. And the thing I was going to say was completely inappropriate. It would be okay maybe 6 months from now, but it was inappropriate for the moment. And so I just discarded it. You see how that works? It's beautiful. And with a little bit of practice, you can do that more and more. And it's more and more easier. And it becomes a habit. You don't even think about it. All it takes is conditioning of not speaking so fast. I know there's a lot of people I know that have no filter. Whatever thought pops into their head, their mouth starts right away. They have no filter. And it's aggravating dealing with people with no filter. Let me tell you, it is an aggravation. So if it's an aggravation to me, I know it would be an aggravation to everybody else if I did it. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I don't like the aggravation of dealing with it, so therefore I don't do it to others. Put the filter in there, okay? I know a lot of people that's going to be tough, but you can do it. These are things that you can do. All it takes is willpower and a little practice, and you can do it. I'm hearing from many, many sources that I have that there are big things getting ready to pop. Some of the stuff I'm hearing sounds believable for the first time, believe it or not, especially about the economy and some things like that. So be prepared for that, whatever. There's storm clouds on the horizon. It could bring a nice, refreshing shower and water the garden, or it could be a hurricane. I'm not telling you which it is. I'm just telling you there's clouds on the horizon. Something is about ready to pop. I do need some information. If any of you are out there that have done a lot of video recordings, if you're aware of any software or any way to record videos and compress those files so they're not so big and yet still contain enough information, there may be something. I'm not aware of it. So if you are, please contact me through the website, which is bydpastordan@yahoo.com. Just send me whatever it is that you're aware of, because I'm trying to make video files and also make video recordings of some of these meetings that we're having, and then make them available to people that might want them. But the size is just prohibitive. Just, they're huge. Take up a lot of hard drive space. They take up a lot of bandwidth on the internet going up or coming down. And so I'm convinced that somewhere out there, there's some kind of software, hopefully it's open source, which means free, that can compress video files, just like they used to compress audio files. And you could compress even Word files. And it, we go in there and take a lot of the junk out of it that's repetitive, so that the meat of the message, the meat of the letter, or the meat of the audio recording was still there, but all that fluff was taken out of it and reduced the size tremendously. So, if you do know something like that, pass it on. But that's pretty much everything I've got for tonight. Can't think of anything else. A lot of things are going on. I've got a lot of family things that are still happening due to my sister passing. So from time to time, I may be out of town over the next month or so. Nothing unusual or bad. It's just these are family matters, and family's important, folks. And I've taken a lot of time away from my family over the years in order to do the things that I felt were necessary for me to support my family and to learn and gather knowledge. Now that I'm at my golden years, they call it, or my elder years, I'm kind of wanting to spend a little more time with my family, especially since losing my kid sister. So, anyway, mainly I just wanted to let you know that don't be alarmed if there's a few nights that I'm not available to do a show. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together with our brothers and sisters. We hope that the recording will also be fruitful for those that listen later on. There's an awful lot going on, Father, and this is confusing time, as you told us through the prophets it would be. But you have also told us that the Holy Spirit would be there to comfort us and to walk with us, and that you don't abandon us. It's us not taking the time to stay in touch with you. That's the problem. So remind us and be with us and comfort us and overlook our stumblings and fallings. We're not perfect people, and you certainly know that. But help us to have pure hearts and pure desires and pure attitudes, that we could fellowship with you and with each other as it's meant to be. We hope that you will open a door soon, that those of us that desire so much to get back on the land and do things the way you've always intended, may that be a possibility in the very near future. Bring together the people that you would see fit that would be part of that project, and shield us from those that are not of pure heart or that might come with the wrong agenda in their minds. We also praise you, Father, for this great awakening that's going on. So many truths that we've struggled with on this program for 20 years. Many things that we took a lot of heat and a lot of disagreement and argument from listeners and from friends and other teachers. Now, people are beginning to awaken to your truths and finding out that we weren't as wrong as they thought we were. So hallelujah for that. But be with us again, Father, in these very, very perilous times and very confusing times, and open our eyes to your truths. Remind us to stay strong with you. That's the most important thing. But also to stay tight with each other, to keep our networks together, keep our reaching out and edifying one another, and learning together, which is a lot of fun. Getting through this mess and weeding through the garbage and finding the diamonds in the dung, that's a fun project, and we gain so much wisdom and knowledge when we do that together. So again, thank you for this time together, Father, and we do ask that you'd walk with us and protect us from our enemies at all times. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.